Now, here are Don Ameche and Francis Langford as John and Blanche Dickerson in The Honeymoon is Over. After 7 years of cycloid insomnia, or sluggard's disease, John Dickerson has finally consented to allow Dr. Hersey to relieve his condition. In room 113 at the General Hospital, Mrs. Dickerson watches anxiously as a surgical nurse ministers to poor John, who is suffering an attack the night before the operation. Listen.
To a steam shovel, nurse. That's normal. Enjoy yourself, dear.
Dr. Hersey's waiting for you in the corridor, Mrs. Richardson.
Oh, hello, doctor.
Is he resting? I gave him a sedative that'll quiet him down.
He isn't very quiet.
Oh. Well, actually, I could have done the operation in my office. It's so trivial. He won't be in surgery over 15 minutes, and there's absolutely no danger whatever.
Will it hurt him?
Not the slightest. All we do is take a stitch in his palate and shorten his uvula.
I hate to bring this up now, Dr. Hersey, but how much will it cost?
The fee will be $50 with the anesthetic.
How much is it without the anesthetic?
Oh, I should say about $40.
Would there be any discomfort if he didn't have an anesthetic?
Not for me, there wouldn't. But I wouldn't advise the operation without it.
And you're sure you'll be cured when you're through?
Oh, practically certain. Well, it's almost midnight now. I'll do his case first, about 7. He just needs a good night's rest.
Well, I'll stay a little longer.
Good night. Call the floor nurse if you need anything.
I will. I hope that pill's quieted him down. That isn't doing him any good. John! Wake up!
What's the matter, boys? What's the matter? I put the cat out, I locked the windows, I left a note for the milkman, I hung up...
John! We're in the hospital.
No for? Somebody sick?
No, you're going to have an operation. Dr. Hersey's going to shorten your uvula in the morning.
Well, then what did you wake me up now for?
The way you were snoring, I was afraid you'd wear it off before he got a chance to operate. You've been snoring steadily for 3 hours. Don't you suppose I want to sleep, too?
You're not sleeping here, are you?
Yes, I am. It costs an extra $5 to put another cot in the room, and I intend to use it. Where's my nightgown?
I can't get one night's sleep, even in the hospital.
I still don't understand why you have to have an operation to cure your snoring.
I didn't want it. You've been working on me for 7 years to do it.
I'm beginning to think it was a waste of money. I could have used that $40. I'm still walking around in a short dress.
What are you beeping about? Tomorrow I'll be walking around in a short uvula.
Don't be so crabby.
I'm not crabby. I'm sleepy. Why don't you stop fiddling around with that mirror and put out the lights?
I have to get undressed, don't I?
Well, take your dress off. Why are you plucking your eyebrows at this time of the night?
I'm not plucking my eyebrows. I'm taking off my false eyelashes.
False eyelashes? I didn't know you had bald eyelids.
My eyelids are not bald. It's just that my lashes are short and they don't bring out my eyes. Lots of women use false eyelashes.
Well, throw them away. You don't need anything to bring out your eyes.
Really?
Really. I'm satisfied with the way they bulge now.
What kind of remark is that?
Oh, hurry up, Blanche. I'm groggy. Blanche, what on earth are you taking out of your hair?
It's a rat.
A what?
A roll of false hair. I have to wear it with a new hairstyle. My own hair is too thin with a pompadour. Darn it, I can't get out of this dress.
Blanche, what are those things?
Don't be so silly. Haven't you ever seen shoulder pads before?
Oh, is such a thing? Your eyelashes are on the dresser, your hair is in the drawer, and your shoulders are on the chair.
What about it?
That's you all over, Blanche. A woman can think of more ways to spend money. Are you ready for bed now?
Yes, dear, I'm ready for bed. Shall I crank yours up a little?
No. Put out the lights.
I wanted to glance at the paper first. You go to sleep.
I can't sleep with the lights on. I left my sleep shade at home.
Well, I won't be a minute.
Oh, nobody believes it. In 6 hours, they're going to carve me to pieces. I'm supposed to rest.
Here, I can't concentrate with you mumbling.
Yeah, mumbling.
Certainly a lot of activity in Washington. What's all this tax reduction talk?
Talk.
Listen to what Senator...
Blanche, I read the paper. Every word of it. Read it to yourself.
Don't be so disagreeable. Dr. Hersey told me to keep you occupied so you wouldn't think about the operation.
All I'm thinking about is sleep.
That's a good boy. You mustn't get nervous.
No.
See, the stock market's going up.
That's fine.
We have some stock, haven't we? Didn't you get some stock last year?
10 shares. Kentucky saltpeter mines. Preferred stock.
My brother got you in on the ground floor, didn't he? Where is it now?
In the ground.
Can't even find it listed on the stock page.
Look in the help wanted column.
Are you getting relaxed, dear?
No, now I'm starting to get nervous.
I'm worried about you, John. If anything happened to you on the operating table, it would all be my fault. So, you know what I think?
We ought to sneak out, huh?
No, I think you ought to make out a will.
Make out a will? I thought you were worried about me.
Well, you don't want to leave me at the mercy of all those grasping relatives of yours, do you? The minute you drop dead,
don't
they'll...
talk like that! Can't you say pass on or something like that?
Well, you always say drop dead.
That's only when I'm talking to your brother. You should be a little more delicate when you're discussing wills.
Why?
Because you make it sound like I'm going to go any minute.
Well, they don't give you a 2 weeks' notice, you know. Every man should make out a will.
Okay, I'll make it out tomorrow.
You say it, but you won't do it. Get up and do it now.
What?
Go on, get up and make out a will.
Why, you're out of your mind. In the first place, the will isn't legal unless you have 2 witnesses. And in the second place, I haven't got anything to leave in the first place. Nobody is going to take anything, and I don't need a will.
You're the most stubborn man that ever lived, John.
Why? Why am I stubborn?
It's the hardest thing in the world to make you admit I'm right when you know I'm wrong.
Now, there's a woman's logic for you. Suppose I do make out a will and nobody can touch anything except you. Okay, so now you got all my worldly goods. First thing you know, you'll get over your grief and marry a guy without a dollar to his name, like that broken-down snore specialist, Dr. Hersey.
Oh, I'm not going to marry anybody.
He'll give up his practice and take you for every penny. My hard-earned money. He'll drive around in my brand-new car, drink my bourbon, loaf around like a prince, never do a day's work.
John!
Why don't you make the bum get a job, Blanche?
Screaming like that. Hush up and go to sleep.
Go to sleep, she tells me. I'm a nervous wreck. Practically talks me into a funeral. Marries a doctor behind my back. Now she tells me to go to sleep. I'll never sleep another wink. Well.
John, the telephone. The telephone, answer.
No, who the dickens is calling? Out the phone! Who moved the phone, Blanche?
What'd you get up for? It's right on the night table by your bed.
Oh, I thought I was home. Hello.
This is Ween.
Huh?
This is the maternity nurse. You can get ready now. I'm bringing your baby in. Say it's 1 o'clock.
What? Blanche, how long have I been here?
Isn't this 4:13?
I don't know what it is, but I'm not feeding any babies. Way to run a hospital.
It's just a mistake, John.
Oh, I shouldn't have fallen for this operation deal. I could be so comfortable at home in my own bed. One of us should have stayed there.
What for?
How do you know a prowler won't break in? I left a whole bottle of bourbon on the dresser.
Nobody will break in. The turkey would gobble and scare him away.
The turkey would gobble. I can just... Turkey? What turkey?
Well, I was going to surprise you. I want a turkey in a raffle, John.
You got a live turkey running around the house?
He isn't running around. I got him tied on your bed.
On my bed? What did you do that for? To have the whole thing full of feathers? What are we going to do with a live turkey?
Well, it's Thanksgiving tomorrow, John, and I thought you'd murder him for dinner.
I'm not going to murder any turkeys. But if he lays a beak on my bourbon, I'll chop his head off. Blanche, you're the most impossible woman that ever lived.
I'm sorry, John. I guess everything I do is wrong. I'll go home and put the turkey out.
Now, wait a minute. Never mind. I didn't mean to holler. Let's go to sleep so I can feel good for the operation.
I don't think I want you to have it.
The least I can do for you. I kept you awake all these years with my snoring, and when Dr. Hersey gets through with me, I'll be as quiet as a mouse.
And if you stop snoring, I'll never wake you up, will I?
No.
If I don't wake you up, we won't fight, will we?
That's right.
That settles it. I'm not going to let him operate, John.
Why not?
It's the only chance I get to talk to you. Come on home.
Oh, I give up.
Hello? Yes, Mrs. Peavy. I've been away for 3 days. I just walked in. Oh, I know. I'm terribly sorry. I'll see if I can stop him. Good night. What are you dreaming about?
Of course.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. Mrs. Peavy just called again about your snoring.
Hmm?
She's getting up a petition to have us thrown out of our apartment.
What for?
Because you're disturbing everybody's sleep. She says you sound like a hot, fierce, reciprocating force pump draining a peat bog in front of you.
What are you talking about, Blanche?
You heard me. The neighbors won't stand for it much longer. That Mrs. Peavy says she's had enough. She's revolting.
I know. I've seen her. Husband's no bargain either. Put out the lights.
Stop it if you want to. I know you can. No other man snores like you.
How do you know?
I talk to my women friends. Their husbands sleep so quietly they have to keep waking them to see if they're dead.
No use. They get you coming or going.
That's the third call I've had this week. I wouldn't mind so much, except I can hardly walk to the phone on this horrible sprained ankle of mine.
Who told you to sprain your ankle?
Nobody told me. I was trying to hang my clothes in the closet, and I slid my foot on one of your old bourbon bottles.
Heavens, Blanche, did you break it?
Don't be afraid.
I mean the bottle.
The bottle was empty, and I might have known you wouldn't be thinking of me.
Always thinking of you. Put out the lights.
I will not. My ankle's so swollen now, I think I better call the doctor.
You don't need the doctor. If you keep exercising it, it'll be fine. Go take a walk around the block.
I just know I can't walk at all anymore.
How do you know until you test it? Go on, kick the cat a few times and see how it feels.
How can you be like that, John? Why don't you do something for me?
In the morning.
I can't understand what's happened to you, John. You used to be so considerate. Since you married me, you've got no sympathy at all.
I have, too. I got everybody's sympathy.
That's right. Add insult to injury. The least you can do is get up and massage my ankle.
Okay, I'll massage it. Where's the chicken fat?
You and your insane remedies. Go get one of those elastic bandages.
Where will I get an elastic bandage at 2 o'clock in the morning?
There's an all-night drugstore 3 blocks from here.
Blanche, darling, just rest now, and I'll get you the bandage in the morning.
What good is that? How do I know my ankle will still hurt in the morning?
I'll twist it. Please, Blanche, will you let me get a couple of hours sleep? You know, I got an interview for a new job tomorrow.
You still haven't told me why you got fired, John.
I'll tell you why. It's because you keep me awake all night, and when I get to the office, I'm dead on my feet.
Just like a man. Blame me. Losing your job has nothing to do with losing your sleep.
Not much.
You don't concentrate on your work because you've lost your ambition. You're not the same man I married, John.
Brother, you can say that again.
Whatever happened to your get up and go?
It got up and went.
I'll tell you what, Helen. You've lost interest in everything except that precious bourbon of yours.
Now, just a minute, Blanche.
I married a great big corkscrew.
I resent that.
I don't care.
You can accuse me of not having any ambition or anything else, but drinking is not one of my failures.
No, it's one of your few successes.
The only reason I use bourbon is because the doctor prescribed it. He said I'd stop snoring if I took a jigger of bourbon and 2 aspirins every night.
That's not what you do, though.
Yes, it is.
It is not. You're 6 months behind on the aspirin and 2 years ahead on the bourbon.
Well, aspirin gives me a headache. Stop talking like that. I never touch the stuff when I'm working.
Then why do you keep getting fired?
Because no man can serve two masters.
Well, it's my fault, isn't it? Since when do I boss you around? You know very well I let you have your own way in almost everything I want.
You've been running me for years.
I have not.
It started right at the altar. When I said I do, you said, oh, no, you don't.
Put out the light.
What?
I said, put out the light.
You mean you're actually going to let me sleep?
I let you sleep for a whole week, didn't I?
3 days. And you wanted to stay with your sister. I didn't tell you to go.
Well, I just hate to think of what you've done to this place since I've been gone. I suppose you left a stack of dirty dishes in the sink.
No dishes.
Were the animals fed regularly?
Every day.
The water in the goldfish bowl should have been changed yesterday.
I changed it. I cleaned up everything.
How's the canary?
I don't know. I haven't seen him since I backed into cage. Oh, don't blow your top. The canary's fine.
And don't frighten me like that. Where's Nature Boy?
Who's Nature Boy?
The cat. Did you let him out tonight?
No.
Why not?
He never came in. Listen, Blanche, I knocked myself out working all day and then come home and have to play nursemaid to a broken-down canary and an alley cat.
He's a beautiful cat, and I love it.
Well, I hate him.
But you wouldn't feel that way if you get a little friendly with him. It's easy to make up to a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you bring him something to play with?
I'll bring him a dog in the morning. Good night, Blanche.
I suppose I'll have to get some groceries in the morning. Are there any eggs for breakfast?
No.
Then you'll have to eat out.
Doesn't matter. I've been doing it for 3 days.
Why didn't you eat home? There was plenty of food here in the house. I left you enough food for a whole week.
Go to sleep.
I cooked a whole bathtub full of rice. What happened to it?
I took a bath in it.
Why didn't you eat it?
I told you a million times I can't stand the sight of rice.
Why not?
Because it's connected with one of the saddest mistakes in my life. And why don't you let me sleep?
Care how I feel, but you'll be sorry after I'm gone.
Where are you going?
Leave me alone.
What's the matter, Blanche? Is it your ankle again? What is it?
No, I've got that other dreadful pain again.
What pain?
It's my head. I've had it off and on for 3 weeks.
Well, take it off now and go to sleep.
Well, if only I'm
now,
feeling...
Now, look, Blanche, I know about that pain in your head. You knocked it against the cupboard, and I happen to know you did it on purpose.
Well, what if I did? I only did it to get a little sympathy from you.
Blanche, you're the most selfish woman in the world. You're always killing yourself to get my sympathy. Last year, you had your appendix removed. 6 months ago, you had your tonsils taken out. 2 weeks ago, you had 5 teeth pulled. You'll run out of parts before I can...
You keep your voice down. Do you want to wake little George?
Who's little George?
Clara's baby.
Who's Clara?
My sister, the one I stayed with in Peapack.
Peapack?
Have you forgotten that Clara and Barney had a baby?
Are you talking about that hulking dollop that weighed 17 pounds when he was born?
16 and he isn't hulking. He's 3 months old and he barely weighs 90 pounds.
90 pounds?
And that's with his clothes on.
He only wears a diaper.
I told you to lower your voice, John. You'll wake him up.
Oh, how can he hear me in Peapack?
He isn't in Peapack. He's in the bathroom.
Bathroom? What's that elephant doing in my bathroom?
I brought him back with me. Clara and Barney are going to a formal at the United Nations pool hall.
Couldn't they get a sitter for one night?
Well, I wanted the baby here to keep me company while you were in the hospital.
I must be going out of my mind. What's this hospital bit?
Well, Dr. Hersey's arranged everything. You're not working now and you've got the time. At 8 o'clock in the morning, he's going to operate on you and snip your pedicle.
What for?
To cure your snoring. I packed your bag and everything.
What does that man want from me? Last week he wanted to shorten my uvula. Now he wants to snip my pedicle.
Now don't go getting excited. Dr. Hersey says you're to get a good night's rest and be in a basal state for the operation.
I knew you were up to something. Put out the lights.
Yes, dear. Soon as you give George his 3 o'clock feeding.
What?
Warm it up in the kitchen. Warm it up and take it in soon. Go on, John. Get up and feed the baby.
Nobody would believe this. Where's my slipper?
I didn't pack it in the bag. It's still under your pillow.
You packed everything else in there. Why didn't you pack the slipper?
Well, I didn't know how soon you'd be walking.
Walking? I thought he was going to operate on my nose.
He is, but you never can tell about complications.
What a life I lead. A short uvula, no pedicle, and one slipper.
Oh, hurry up and get George's formula before he starts to cry. And the cat's home again. Careful you don't step on him.
Where is this formula? I can't find any formula.
It's in the icebox, right next to the flounder I bought for dinner.
There's no flounder and no formula. Put out the light.
You look in the yellow bowl?
I looked in the yellow bowl.
Well, what's in it?
Just the cat.
John Biggerson, did that cat eat the flounder in George's food?
I don't know, but he's sitting in the icebox, picking his teeth with the bones and wiping his face with a diaper.
That's terrible. What do we feed little George?
Feed him the cat.
How can you be so heartless, John? The child has to be fed every half hour. He's wasting away.
Wasting away? He wastes more than I do.
I think I hear him yelping already. Go in there and rock him to sleep.
I'll be glad to. Where's the rock?
Now, you stop talking like that. I'm responsible for that child, and you'd better see that he's fed.
Yeah, what do you want me to give him, Blanche?
Clara gave me a half a dozen cans of baby food. Go on, get up and boil him some.
I'll boil him. This is the nice rest I get before I go to the hospital to get my nose whacked off. Where's the stuff?
On the kitchen table, and you needn't warm it or put it into a dish. He's hungry enough to eat it as it is. Just take it to him in the can.
All right, all right. Put out the lights.
Have you gone crazy, John? What do you mean throwing the can in there like that? How do you expect him to get at the food?
There's a can opener on the wall.
John Pickerson.
Oh, please, Blanche. He isn't hungry and he isn't crying. He's in there sleeping like a horse.
I didn't even look at him.
I didn't have to look at him. I heard him snoring. Please let me get a little rest. I'll never be strong enough for the operation tomorrow.
Oh, don't be so dramatic about the operation. Thousands of people have operations every day. You wouldn't hear me carry on like that if I was going to have an operation.
Not much. You had to take ether to have glasses fitted.
Well, I'm very sensitive around the eyes. Anyway, the surgery you're going to have is not a bit serious.
It isn't going to be serious because I'm not gone. I'm not gone, baby.
You have to. I've already paid Dr. Hersey. He wanted $40 for the operation and $10 for the anesthetic.
I'll take the anesthetic without the operation.
You're getting the operation without the anesthetic.
What? That's the last straw, Blanche.
Now you've done it. George is awake.
Who's George?
The baby. You woke him up.
I don't care. I didn't send for him.
Well, you go get him. Bring him out here and I'll take care of him. Go on, John. Get George.
Oh, what's the use? Where's my slipper?
You packed it back in your bag.
What did you pack these lace curtains in here for?
They're not lace curtains. Those are your shorts. I made a mistake. Instead of draining them in Rinso, I rinsed them in Drano.
Well, where's my other pair? Why didn't you pack those?
Well, I couldn't. The baby's wearing them. Clara forgot to leave a change.
You should have bought him something.
Well, I tried. He wears an outsized diaper, and they have to be made to order. Hurry up and wheel him out.
3 months old. Look at the size of him. He's built like a brick schoolhouse.
He's a perfectly normal, healthy baby. He can't help it if he's big. His mother and father are big.
Big what?
I think he's adorable.
He looks just like Clara. Turn him over. Let me see his face.
That is his face.
Oh. Was this crib made to order for him?
Of course not. You can buy them anywhere for $3.98.
So that's little George.
Yes, and I'm going to have the pleasure of him all the time you're in the hospital. Look at him lying there like a little cherub. So innocent and sleek. Soon he'll be walking, and in a little while he'll begin to talk. He'll say such cute things. And his first day at school, he'll be so scared. Maybe he'll be a wonderful scholar or a great athlete. He'll grow into manhood, handsome and strong. He might be a doctor or a lawyer. He might even grow up to be the president of the United States. Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking of, darling?
How can they make a crib like that for $3.98?
Good night,
George. Good night, Blanche. Good night, George.